Okay, I don't know quite where I'm going to go because I've got lots of thoughts in my head. And how many of you guys are finding the revelatory realm is just expanding so much that in a day, there's like, I've got a couple of months off this last week of engagement and mentoring because there's something going on in the spirit where heaven is overshadowing us in a new way. And it says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit. I want to propose to you, we're in an outpouring. Okay? And I just want to prophesy something before I even begin to teach, really. This isn't even like my message. But Enoch, as you know, has had a big impact on my journey over the last 4 years. But he began to engage the kingdom realm of the Father, and he went back into Eden. He went back into bliss and joy because he saw the goodness of God. He saw the Lamb. He believed the gospel before the gospel had been preached. Adam chose not to go back into Eden because we read that the fiery swords were there, and we presume you couldn't go back. Enoch proved you can go back. You just had to go through the fire. You had to allow the DNA and the record of who you are to be judged by the flaming sword so that the record of the corruptible would be put on incorruptible. And the decision for Adam wasn't so much about, do you want to go back in Eden? It was whether you wanted to go through the fire. But it took faith to go through the fire because you had to be anchored in the knowledge of his goodness to understand that it would bring perfection. That it would be sanctification through fire, passing through fire into another dimension so that even the record of your DNA is configured into the pattern of the heavenly man. So he was able to walk with his body, soul, and spirit into that dimension. And he did it all by faith. Faith is anchored in a superior reality. Faith is anchored in the goodness of God. Faith, he rewards those who diligently seek him. Enoch did not accept the corruption of his time, and he lived in the time of the Nephilim. He lived in the time of corruption. He lived in the time when they'd forgotten God, and he was the seventh from Adam. Seventh means completion or fulfillment or end of days or rest, and he believed in an era of chaos that he could live out a rest. He believed in an era of chaos that he could go back into Eden. He believed in an era that was dark that he could engage the face of the Father and transcend death and by faith skip death. So you have to realize in an era where decay has been introduced to the cosmos, there was a person that saw that the holy ones will not see decay and began to engage with the record of life and believe could access it by faith. This pleased God so much that God took him. But Enoch was a pattern of a future generation. He's the seventh, which is the conclusion or completion or end. And as it is at the end, so it is at the beginning. As it is at the beginning, so shall it be at the end. And he saw a mystery in heaven. He saw the books of the future acts of mankind and understood them fully. And he saw our day and overshadowed our day. And he prophesied into our day and said that the Lord was going to come before the Lord had been sent the first time. That's engaging the timeline. So he said in the book of Jude, they quote the book of Enoch and say that he is coming with 10,000 of his mighty ones. 10 is the number of government multiplied. A governmental dimension of ecclesia going to come out of the realm of heaven and appear on the earth. To put it another way, in Colossians 3, it says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you shall also appear with him in glory. So there's going to be an appearance or an unveiling out of heaven, which is according to the pattern of Enoch, which is the pattern of the heavenly man that God is restoring upon the earth. And he saw something interesting. I just want to read this to you. And this is just an intro. It's not even maybe what I'm going to speak about. But when he was exploring heaven, he kept asking the angels, his life was hidden with the watchers. There's going to be a new generation of those who were hidden with the watchers, hidden in Christ, concealed here, revealed there. Concealed here, revealed there. Concealed here, revealed there. And this is the rhythm of the tides of knowing when to breathe in and breathe out and when to press in and press into the kingdom realm here. And then I reveal it there. Often when people think I'm looking like I'm not talking or I'm not processing, it's because I'm pressing into the kingdom realm here, but you're not seeing a manifestation there. So I know when to be hidden. I know when to be revealed. Right now I'm hidden. So I'm speaking out of season in a sense because I'm just in a season of engaging the mystic secrets of God. Right, you with me so far? So Enoch wanted to see through... Am I going too fast? Because I'm... You know, anyway. We still have to use... spoken speech right now, but that's changing. It's possible to be of one mind. Paul said, be of one mind and one opinion. It's so possible to be unified in him that we have one mind, that we have the mind of Christ. We have one opinion, one view, and we talk to each other through cardiogenosis, which is the inner knowledge or genosis, secret mysteries of the heart, where we talk to each other, not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So I'm engaging you in the flesh because of the maturity of the bride, but there's a maturity coming where literally light beams will arc and crackle between people and terabytes of information will exchange in moments because that's how heaven functions. That's the pattern of the heavenly council. That's what it looks like in heaven when the council gathers. You don't see their lips move. You see them charged up with creative light, and arcs of light go between them. And in these arcs of pure beauty and masses of communication, but it's like a brain. The counsels of God is like a brain of light, a light brain. And they communicate masses of information in a moment. So we're going to go beyond the language speed that we're talking now. I was just with Paul Keith Davis, and we would talk each other in sentences, but we would understand thoughts in between the sentences. I don't know if he was aware of it, but I was, certainly. And one sentence meant many sentences. Have you ever had that? That's rich communication, right? So we're coming into rich communication. We're coming into the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of wisdom and understanding being woven into the fabric of our DNA and our skin. So this week I saw a new thing. The Lord showed me that the seven spirits were like ribbon that would be woven into me as a living manifestation of Joseph's coat. And there's going to be those that wear Joseph's coat, but Joseph's coat is actually made out of the inweaving into the DNA and into the genetic spiritual structure of a human being, the seven governing spirits to bring completion with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the ten... The government of ten rests. So that's the resting place of his throne. The throne and before the throne, weaving itself into the record of DNA possession of those spirits, into our matrix of who we are. Wow. Right, okay. So Enoch, I love Enoch because Enoch had a thing that they call in corporate culture, restless curiosity. He wasn't satisfied with the times that he lived in. I don't want to be living in the pace of the time that we're in, because that's to live under the tyranny of the temporary and to be bound by lunar, solar, and to the 12 stars of the 12 star signs. That's to be under their government. So to be bound by the days of the weeks, the solar months, the birth dates and star signs and the vibration of the galactic cluster is to be under a lower frequency of dimensional pathways than the God wants you to engage with, because you are everlasting doors, everlasting gates. You're meant to lift up your head, all your gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors. You're meant to allow the transcendent nature of God to move around you and through you. He has put eternity in your heart, which means he has unraveled all this beyond time into your heart. And he has seated it in you so that you become a gate, a transcendent door, a portal, Jacob's ladder, a convergence point, not between heaven and earth, but between dimensional realms, planes of existence and time. So to be limited by time is to be limited by a lower truth than what you are. Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. He is kainos. The word is kainos, which means you are of a different kind or quality to everything you see around you. Kainos is the fact that you are no longer human. That's what Paul said. I recognize no one as a man. In the Knox translation, I see no one through that lens. He's like, if you're arguing, you're acting like humans again. If any man be in Christ, he is a brand new creation. But it also says he is in a brand new world. You are not in the same world as the person next to you on that train. You are in a brand new world. You're now in a crazy world with the seven spirits. You're in a world with angels where you're surrounded by them. You should see them. You've got the cloud of witnesses who encompass you and engage with you. You should see them every single day. You are now connected into the mind of God, which is the mysteries of Christ. You can travel through time and space because in him we live and move and have our being. And he is not time bound. Time is a lower dimensional plane of existence. It's like a loaf of bread made of slices. And you're passing through the slices. But kainos transcends the slices. Moses moved back, looked at the beginning. Enoch moved from the beginning and looked at the end. There's another era after that. That's called the age to come. But there's ages to come. Which dimensional plane do you want to live in? Kainos means that you're from the future planted in the past. Okay? So kainos means that although you're existing here today, you're actually from here. Because when it says the Lord will make a new heaven and a new earth, it uses the same word, kainos. I saw the old one removed and I saw a kainos heaven and a kainos earth created. So you don't exist in this time, so don't act like you're from this time. Enoch understood this and decided to skip death, skip time, and begin to live out of this. Then he realized it was a temporal dimension in itself, so he went out of it and into perfection. So he engaged Genesis 1:1, where the light of God was. And he went into the divine essence, which is the framework of all existence, and he began to move from that dimension into this dimension and back. So bear in mind, Enoch is a pattern of what we're supposed to be. He's a pattern of something the Lord's releasing on the earth. Okay, I'm not really preaching. I'm just like pushing a little bit just to... I want to just quickly talk about wisdom. We are in a marker time for wisdom. The Lord told me technology is going to become like magic. You'll literally see people say technology is like magic because technology is a manifestation of his goodness. And the knowledge of his goodness is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And technology, I believe, can do anything that the spirit realm can do. Transportation, trans-relocation, moving through dimensions, moving to other planets. 13.7 billion light years of cosmos that we've explored so far. All of that is waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. How are you going to get there? Let me propose a question to you. How far can God transport you? If he transported Philip to Samaria, what's the limit that you could be transported even right now? Within the cosmos or dimensional fields. Let's keep going. I'm going to just prophesy something and I'm going to move on. So when Enoch was in heaven, I was struck by something because I loved the way that Enoch walked with the watchers and he became friends with the angels and the angels showed him around and he kept wanting to see and he kept saying, what is this? What is this? And sometimes even the angels would go, why do you want to know? It's like he wanted to know and God loved that about him. God loved Enoch's persistent pursuit of his face and he rewards those who diligently seek him. I want to become an explorer of his world. I want to know the science of the unseen. I want him to peel back the curtain. I want to know how it works. I want to know what it does. I want to know what's there. I don't want to wait till I die because to wait till I die is to put faith in death being the access point. So I just want to say this. When he was in heaven, he lived in a time of corruption. It said this, it seems strange that wisdom found no place where she might dwell. Wisdom had overshadowed in creation and woven herself into the fabric of it all. And wisdom was in everything. However, she couldn't find a dwelling place amongst men in that generation because it was corrupt through and through. So she pulled her essence back up into heaven and sat in heaven. And you could just see chaos on the earth. I feel sorry for Noah being born in that generation. I mean, it was an intense time. And it says, a place was assigned to her in the heavens. Was this for my understanding? She went forth to make a dwelling among the children of men, but found no dwelling place. She returned to a place and sat among the angels. You guys all right? Okay. To the mature, we speak a higher wisdom. Okay. You're powerful. You can weigh it, test it, throw it out and disagree. That's the culture of honor. Okay. I'm just sharing what I believe. All right. You search for yourself. You look into these things yourself. You inquire of the Lord yourself. It says we'll all be taught by the Lord. We got to be taught by the Lord. The Lord's got to be your greatest encourager. The Lord himself, David strengthened himself in the Lord. Wow. Whee! Listen, you're going to need to be strengthened with might in your inner man by the Spirit himself to handle God for what's coming. We think that verse, like those verses, are about the devil. The Bible doesn't even address it. It says that you may be strengthened with might in your inner man to know the power of God, you know, the unsearchable riches. We need God right now in a way that we've never needed him before to possess our bodies, just to handle the revelatory realm and the capacity. When I saw the counsels of God, I had no idea that humans could look like these humans look like. I mean, I've seen people charged up with the Spirit. I've seen people shine and glow. I've seen people resonate in his presence. But I have never seen them charged to the point that they're like pillars of light, arcing, crackling data out of them, arcs of color. And I could not believe that humans have got that capacity. I want to start to take on the pattern of the heavenly, because I want to be like those guys. I want to walk in the councils like Enoch has. Whoa. Okay, I'm still talking about wisdom. In this place, I saw the fountain of righteousness, which is inexhaustible. All around were other fountains of wisdom. Wow. Those who were thirsty drank of this water, and they were filled with wisdom. From here, their dwelling place was to be with the righteous and holy and elect of God. The hour had come when the Son of Man was to be named in the presence of Almighty God, the God of spirits, his name before the head of days. Wow. This is what I want to say, is that Enoch saw a day coming, and I believe it's now. I want to propose to you. I'm making a proposal here that we are in the day where wisdom is coming down like rain. We're in the era of forced change. It said this, wisdom shall be poured out like water and the glory of God shall never fail. He looked through the timeline and saw that this temporary encagement of the spirit of wisdom would end. It's the same thing that Joel said, in the last days, would you agree we're in the last days? I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, pour out my spirit, and they will have dreams, they will have visions, they will be divinely appointed appearances, there will be expansion of the human heart, and I will pour out my spirit in those days with signs in the heavens. So we got to be able to engage the heavens, signs on the earth. There we see like the restoration of our cosmic mandate as a human species. Whoa. Whoa. I want to propose to you that something's happening right now, that God is releasing this. It says in the Word, however we speak wisdom among those who are mature. There has got to be now a marker in the sand where we say the Pentecostal era has ended. The gifts of the Spirit era is over. The gifts, the Lord spoke to me and said Pentecost was in the church's infancy. We've set its infancy as its standard of maturity. To the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. We go from glory to glory. We're being transformed according to the pattern. Whee! Yet not the wisdom of this age. So where is this wisdom coming from? Not this age. It's not in this dimensional field. This is not where we're accessing it from. But we speak, not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which was ordained before the ages for our glory. What was this wisdom for? For our glory. It was for a generation to be glorified and woven with wisdom, that we would be clothed with wisdom, that she would work her DNA right into the core of everything we are and everything we do. Yay. Yay. Which none of the None of the rulers of this age knew. If they'd known, they'd not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. If you've not heard it before, it's because it's that verse. It's not entered into the heart of man. But he's revealing it in these days by his Spirit, because we're coming into the revealing of a new world. I was recently in an experience with the Lord where he took me into Eden, and I was enjoying walking with him. And then he took me to this lake that was being pulled by rivers. And Enoch was there walking along the shore. And the Lord said to me, this is time. And I looked at the lake and it was full. It was filling right up. And he says, it's the fullness of time. The implications of this are huge. It says, suddenly the Lord will come to his temple. Suddenly he will appear. That there will be an awakening and appearing out of nowhere. When gross darkness covers the earth, then there will be an arising and a shining and a shimmering, glistening company that emerge with the spirits of God, that with the wisdom of God. And it says, kings will come. But what kind of kings? What kind of kings, Ian? Says, kings will come to the brightness of your rising. Perhaps we've risen to the point where they can come now, where these beings can come out of the kingdom realm, the kings of heaven, the kings of these dimensions that we know why is seen. We don't even know what's out there, who's out there, what God's doing. We've been so limited by the temporal, and we've had messengers of the temporary that have just gone after basic stuff, like how we should live and what we should do. And he's called us into transcendence. He's called us into himself. He has called us into mystic union. He has given us the gift of God, the gift of God, the mind of God, union into him. Hey. Hey. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words with man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. It is foolishness, nor can he know them. We're going into a dimension now where it will either be like, or you will not understand a thing. You'll either be in the Spirit, speaking in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, moving in the Spirit, or in the natural, you'll hear words that are just foolish, 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 foolish. And the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. There's no bridge in this. Jude saw this day and he said, in the last days, it'll be messed up. He says, there'll be those that have not the Spirit. That'll be the defining mark, whether we're in the Spirit. In him I live, in him I move, in him I have my being. Hey, whoa, in another dimensional reality that he's calling us up to come. He's calling us to come. He says, I want them to be where I am and to see my glory. He wasn't speaking to dead people, because when you're dead, you're there. He was saying, I want a company that know how to move up and down and to and fro. He said, woe to those who dwell or inhabit or anchor themselves in the world in those days. The word dwell means where you choose to be anchored. So it says, you are citizens of heaven, set your mind on things above, which means you set your mind on things above, which means you're the access point to things above in him. Don't set your mind on that which is unseen, unseen, who does it? You set your mind, you anchor, you presence, you relocate yourself mentally into that dimension. Hey. Yay. These things are spiritually discerned. These things are from the Spirit. But he who is spiritual judges all things. Who judges all things? He who is spiritual, who is in the Spirit, who is kainos, who is in this dimensional plane, sees with clarity, because repentance is a sustained change of perspective of the nature of reality. That is Bill Johnson's definition of repentance. I'll say it again, Bill Johnson, that probably got your ears awake, because you'll listen to that. that repentance is a sustained change of perspective about the nature of reality. What do you believe? What is real right now? What is real right now? It says this is temporary, temporal. It says this is limited. Okay. Listen to this then. For we who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. We can be infused into God's head. God's head, God's headship, where we have the mind of Christ, which is the access to the unsearchable mysteries. It's like Neo in the Matrix being plugged into him, where knowledge comes, revelation comes. I have days now where it's just pouring into me, pouring into me. People ask me where I get my revelation from. I get it from God. I get it from God. I get it from God. I don't, you know, get it from I love books. Some books I do get it from, but most of these books I don't get it from there, because it's the Lord himself will instruct us. The Lord himself will teach us. He himself. Yay. You still with me? But we have the mind of Christ. Whoa. But if any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask the giving God. His name's the giving God. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly without reproaching or fault finding, and it will be given to him. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you, making your ear attentive to skillful and godly wisdom and inclining and directing your heart and mind to understanding, applying all your powers to the quest for it. Yes, if you cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek for wisdom as for silver and search for skillful and godly wisdom as for hidden treasure. Where is it hidden? It's hidden in this dimensional plain. This is where God created light, and then he created heaven and earth, and he synced them together. They're on both on time, but this one's got rich time, where you're always on time. Time bends to fit you. Here, time acts like a cage, but if you let it. Here, time is a prison. There, time is a friend. There is time in heaven. But do you know, when it says the unseen is eternal, it wasn't talking about heaven. Because heaven and earth will. But there's this dimension where God created the divine essence, the expanse in Genesis 1:1, where he created light and dark. And the dark is called the cloud of unknowing, and it's an expanse. It's the divine essence. It's the hidden mysteries of God. God is looking for those that will engage if we walk in the light as he is in the light. God who sits on the throne there is a shadow of a higher truth. I'll say it how the Bible says it. It says the heavens of heavens, so there's more than one heaven, by the way. The heavens of heavens cannot contain God. God exists in the divine essence, in the expanse. And it says if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we're children of light in the kingdom of light. So if you're going to walk in the light as he's in the light, where have you got to go? If you want to walk in the light as he's in the light, you go out of the temporal realm. How can you do that? Because if anyone who's joined to the Lord is one spirit with him, wherever he is, you are. So there's a hidden wisdom that we're to seek after. For the Lord gives skillful and godly wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He hides away. Listen, he hides away sound and godly wisdom and stores it up. It's getting stored up here. Wow! For the righteous. I'm going to say it again. Search for wisdom as for hidden treasure. He hides away sound of godly wisdom and stores it up. In Proverbs it says, "How fortunate those who discover lady wisdom and who understand her ways, for her worth is greater than the most expensive prize. Her profit is greater than the finest thing you could buy. No gem is more precious than she is. Your most extravagant desire doesn't come close to her. She holds the secret of a long life in one hand and riches and fame in her other hand. Her ways are pleasant. All of her pathways are peaceful." Do you know the pathways of wisdom? I'm telling you a truth that's been stored up. That's why you don't understand what I'm saying. You're trying to process it through what was, not through what is and is to come. Come on. Come on. All of this has got to come down. God wants to bring completion on the earth. He's shown me that in the unseen realm, this dimensional plane in heaven, he says, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. Even just in heaven, there are things that have not come out. Because when he made it, he made, if you think of the earth as a ball and heaven as an expanse, he just dropped some of it on there. But he wants to envelop it with the reality. Okay? So when the Lord spoke to me recently, he said, did you know rainbows existed in heaven before earth? And I was like, oh, so when it appeared to Noah, it was just a manifestation of something that had been transplanted. Because it says around his throne is a rainbow. The Lord spoke to me recently, said, I'm about to release upon the earth even now things that no eye has seen. They're going to come out of that dimensional realm. And there is literally going to be manifestations of new creatures, new things, even in the cosmos. I don't fully understand what he was saying, to be honest with you. But we're in an era where I don't live by understanding. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. He says, my sheep know my voice. And faith comes from hearing his word, not understanding. Because we're moving into a dimension right now where we don't have to understand. Because if you can understand it, it's already been assimilated into the size of your mind. So we live by faith, not by sight. When I go in the kingdom dimension, sometimes I'll be taught masses of information in a moment. That's how I get downloads. You know, I had a 10-minute encounter with the spirit of the fear of the Lord, where the Lord taught me in a trance more than I've read in two whole books on the spirit of the fear of the Lord. I learned more about the fear of the Lord in 10 minutes than those two books. And I can tell you what I know from reading those books, they haven't been where I went. Come on. Shift's happening right now. Force change is happening right now. We're not in a normal time. Have you noticed all hell's breaking loose? Well, I think it's time for all heaven to break loose. I think it's time for there to be a breakout right now. And the breakout is in your mind. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Stop trying to change church. Change your mind. Change your mind. The Lord's responsible for the church, not you. I know some Christians that spent their entire lives trying to change church. It's going. It's part of what's going. All you're doing is moving furniture around in the same building. That building's coming down. Church Street's coming down. And the ecclesia are coming out. The ecclesia are the governmental ones who listen in on the voice that now speaks in heaven. They stand amongst those who are there. They have free access there. They're taught by the Lord himself. The Lord teaches them. The Lord teaches them. He's looking for those who are taught by him. So what lowers us into a lower dimensional frame is that he has seeded us with eternity in our hearts, but the cares and worries of this life choke the seed of his DNA. The cares and worries of the life choke the seed to stop what? Maturity. Jesus himself said this, that the cares and troubles of the world choke the seed from coming to maturity. But it says, set your mind on things above. Where you anchor your mind is where you'll feast from. What you look upon multiplies. What the eye hooks into multiply. Come magnify the Lord with me. Magnification, magnify. We have to be unplugged in the record of our DNA. God wants to pop the DNA of humanity right now. One of the biggest battles in our generation is going to be over whether we will be limited to the time-space prison. Did you know time and space is a prison? Did you know that time is relative? You guys still with me? Okay, do you know that time is completely relative to you? I could be in quality time right now, having an infusion of knowledge, learning loads. Actually, I've done this many times when I'm preaching. My body's preaching and I'm being taught something. In an elevated position, Paul said, if I'm besides myself, it's all God's fault. So I've been besides myself, but you could be in bored time. Tick, tick, tick. Poor time. How many of you guys are having time distortions, time transformation? Did you know time's a substance you're meant to govern? Right, so we got to disconnect ourselves from the day and night, this, you know, which is the 24-hour clock, the solar calendar, the moon. Wow. We've got to disconnect ourselves from the government of the 12 star signs, which creates a time which you're not a part of because you're Kainos. And what's in Kainos in the future? There is no sun. What light are you back into? You're back into Genesis 1:1, but it's at the end because the circle has to complete. As it was at the start, it is at the end. We need to pop our DNA out of time. This is what Enoch did. If I didn't know people have done this, I would be speaking as a man without experience. But I have seen and met people, conversed with people that have done this. Elijah has moved out of it. They've moved out of the time realm. Wisdom is coming to help us. Wisdom is brilliant. She never fades. By those who love her, she is readily seen. How do you access all of these secrets and these truths? It's through affection. If it has weight in your heart, it has weight on the earth. If you value angels, you'll become friends with them. So lots of you know I've been pursuing who the angel is with me for a long time, and that I now know the name of my angel finally. It's called the Dew of the Father. So we've now met and we've got to know each other, but it came through the law of honor and value. Life flows through honor. Life flows through value. Do you hold heaven in your heart? In your affections? Do you hold nations in your affections? Do you hold these things in you? By those who love her, she is readily seen. By those who seek her, she is readily found. She anticipates those who desire her by making herself known first. Whoever gets up early to seek her will have no trouble, but will find her sitting at the door. Meditating on her is understanding in his perfect form, and anyone keeping awake for her will soon be free from care. For she herself searches everywhere. What? How can she search everywhere? For those who are worthy of her, benevolently appearing to them on their ways, anticipating their every thought. For wisdom begins with a sincere desire for instruction. Care for instruction means loving her. Loving her means keeping her laws. Attention to her laws guarantees incorruptibility. And incorruptibility brings us near to God. The desire for wisdom thus leads to sovereignty. If then thrones and scepters delight you, monarchs of the nation, honor wisdom so that you may reign forever. That's good, isn't it? Do you like that? Okay. This is a quote from Rick Joyner. The ultimate conflict between life and death is about to enter its last and greatest battle. Everything I'm talking about here is non-optional. Woe to those who remain on the earth in these days. It's not just been anchored out of time. It's been anchored out of the concept of locality. Quantum physics has blown the idea of local matter out of the water because they thought that this bucket was really here until they started looking at it at quantum level and realized that actually it's not really here. It's in a wave pattern. It becomes local through my attention to it. My interaction with it localizes it. But this is the thing. I did not accept. If you knew me 4 years ago, I had not encountered Enoch 5 years ago, whatever it was. What I realized was that I wasn't living my true kainos self because I accepted my intelligence. When I chose not to accept my intelligence, God began to expand my intelligence. How do I know that? Because there's books that I'm reading now that 4 years ago I couldn't understand. I read them now and I'm like, yeah, I get it, I get it, I get it. The ultimate conflict between life and death is about to enter its last and greatest battle. It will rage from one end of the earth to the other in every city and town, on every social and political and philosophical front. Did you get that? A time is coming when every debate, every political campaign, and every social movement will be seen as a battle line between the ultimate spiritual forces. There will be no neutral ground, no truces, and no peace in war. There will be both the most dangerous and most opportune time for Christianity since the beginning. Churchianity in Christendom's over. A new kind of Christianity is going to emerge. Paul Kane saw it. He said it would be filled with power, purity, and unity. God appeared to Mike Bickle in a hotel in Egypt. It redefined his life. It's why IHOP happened and Kansas City. And the Lord spoke to him audibly and said, in one generation, I'm going to completely change the expression of Christianity on the earth, and it will never be irrelevant again. We have to get to grasp with the idea that phase one is about to complete. Phase one is the restoration of earth, which is the beginning of the restoration of the cosmos. We cannot keep having a paradigm of evangelizing earth. We cannot re-empower a devil that has already been disempowered. We have to see that a day is coming where it says there will not even be any war on earth. I don't know what kind of end time thinking you got. Bill Johnson says that religion puts all of the promises in another era that we got no personal responsibility for. If you understand you don't exist in this era, then you'll realize you have got responsibility. We are those that taste of the power of the age to come. Okay, let me put it like this. When someone gets healed, where does the healing come from on a scientific quantum level? It comes from the age to come. Because time can bleed backwards. Okay, quantum physically, if you look at a photon, it'll be a wave pattern of light. But if they know that you're going to watch them, no one knows how this happens, it becomes a photon instead of a wave pattern. You guys with me so far? So light knows when you're watching it. But get this. Light knows if you're going to watch it in the future, it will change what it is in the past. All right, this will blow your brain. You know when you see light through a telescope coming from a planet that's, say, a 1,000 light years away, right? That photon already knew it was going to be watched and in the past became solid. I just can't wait till we can really let rip. I just feel like the speed we're going isn't working anymore. It's not working anymore, so what are you going to do about it? You're not human. Stop thinking like a human. Stop thinking you need time to bed it in. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. You're in a brand new world. It's the way you think. Be transformed by the renewal, by the changing of your perception of reality. And I'm just, you know, I could go on and on. I don't even know what time I'm supposed to finish. But I'm just prophesying. The wisdom's coming to help you. That's why I'm talking about wisdom. Wisdom's coming now to the house, and she's going to erect 7 pillars. And she's going to bring the full counsels of God amongst us. And you have to give yourself permission to change now. Because who you are up until now is over. The era of Christianity we've known is over. The way we define church and each other is over. The way we saw it is over. No more is it going to be an earthly body. It's going to be one family in heaven and on earth, surrounded by angels. Every day you'll see the cloud of witnesses. Every day you'll see angels. You won't just know one or two angels. You'll know hundreds, thousands of angels, because as he is, so you are, because there is a resurrection that's already happened, that we're in him, in Colossians 3, seated. And you know, one thing that God said to Rick Joyner once, he said, Not many Christians believe in the resurrection. He was shocked by that. But it's the truth. And this is what Bill Johnson's talking about now. Have you heard Bill Johnson? Bill Johnson's going out there on what he's saying, but he's only saying what guys like Ian have been saying. He's saying that the pattern, the full pattern of the renewed, transformed mind can be seen in the transfiguration. Think about this. You've gone up on a mountain. We go up into the mountain of Zion. You've got the Moses and Elijah encouraging him. The renewed mind should get encouragement from above. Since we are surrounded by such a cloud, or encompassed or pressed in on by a cloud of testifiers, witness to testify, which means they've got a voice that speaks if you listen. He's on the mountain being encouraged. He gets transfigured into dazzling, brilliant, sunlight brilliance. It says from the inside out. The reality is, and this is very difficult to comprehend, you don't have to comprehend it, this is inside you. Get over it. You know, God's in you. The divine essence is in you. This is the mystery that no one's understood, that we're going to start to manifest God himself, the gift of God. The Pentecostal era is over. We're going to take on the pattern of the heavenly man, the incorruptible pattern from above. Whoa. And Jesus glowed, and on that mountain was elevated. Then the cloud came and immersed. And what's the cloud? The cloud is a trans-dimensional gateway. Jesus went up, levitated, because he was now the prince of the powers of the air, because he'd taken Satan's position, which means we can be there too, because we're meant to burn the skies. The Lord showed me this move of the Spirit's going to torch the sky. Okay, sorry. I'm trying to pull out. Okay. Okay. I guess that's the end. Amen. I'm done. Just lift your voice now and sing in the Spirit.